This is Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Kevin Gavin. Raul Valdez Perez was the co-founder and CEO of Vivissimo for 9 years before that discovery software company was acquired by IBM in 2012. He was a computer science faculty member at Carnegie Mellon University, and he's the author of Advice is for Winners, How to Get Advice for Better Decisions in Life and Work. Raul Valdez Perez, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You say in your book that faulty choices can be due to faulty decision-making process, and you cite a friend from college and his decision to attend that college.
Right. The book starts out in classic self-help style on page one with an anecdote, a story. In this case, it was when I was an undergrad. This was somebody who came from another country with a full scholarship to go wherever he'd like to study, wherever he could get in. And he chose to go to a college that was in those days, not at all a prestigious school, which is where I was an undergrad, and where 95% of the students were the first in their family to go to college. And I asked him, why, if you could have gone everywhere, did you come here? And he said that he had done his own research, and his conclusion was that there were only two places in the United States where you could study electronics engineering, and my alma mater was one of them. And I was stunned by this mistake. And, what he missed, which he would have found out had he consulted anybody, was that that's just a branch of electrical engineering. But he just focused on that phrase. He only found two universities in the whole United States that offered it. So ever since then, and I'm talking far back, late 70s, it's been on my mind how you can make really major faulty decisions by not testing your own conclusions and leveraging the advice and the experience of others.
Mm-hmm. On the contrary, sometimes we do make decisions that have satisfactory results, but you say they could be even better results had we gotten some advice.
Yes, or even if you're leaning toward the right decision in the first place, of course, that can happen. One of the benefits of advice, and it's actually chapter two in the book, is not just a solution to a problem or an issue. Rather, one of the many benefits of advice is giving you confidence that you're on the right path. It really helps to go forward with vigor and with confidence that you're not missing something. So that really helps. In fact, I had a conversation with somebody who called me just this morning, who was starting a company, and he was thinking about how to divide up the equity among founders, and he wanted to consult me. He had a path in mind. He wasn't sure if he was missing something, and I talked it out with him. And I'm not sure I gave him any new solution, but he ended the call with confidence that he wasn't missing something. So that really counts for a lot, not just a solution, but confidence, and there are other benefits as well.
Sometimes you just need to talk it out?
Yes, but confidence. What am I missing? What could go wrong that I haven't thought of? Is there anybody else you can introduce me to? What questions should I ask myself? All those things that go beyond just take this path.
The title of the book, the essence of the book, refutes the notion that advice is for losers, a weakness, although Ralph Waldo Emerson might disagree or might say it is for losers. So winners make better decisions because they seek advice?
Winners make better decisions because they seek advice? No, I think the basic problem the book addresses is that people every day make inferior decisions sometimes, which could have been avoided had they sought out, had they taken the initiative in seeking out advice from others. I mean, I lived that situation. We started a company, Vivissimo, in the year 2000. At the start, there were three of us. None of us knew anything about business, really. And we didn't have any investors, so we didn't have any people who knew about business on our board or anything like that. So it was just the three of us. So in that situation, you have a shallow bench, and you have a lot of decisions to make. So you either muddle through, sometimes make good ones, sometimes make bad ones, or you improve your odds by recognizing that for a particular decision, you don't have the experience or knowledge, and you ask yourself, who could help? And go talk with them and seek them out. So it's a habit that I think people should get into. Why they don't have that habit, you can credit or blame upbringing, where you're brought up to do certain things, but you're not brought up. Here's the basic problem. Parents do not bring up your children to ask the following question. If you have a problem or an issue, ask yourself, do you have the knowledge and experience to deal with it yourself? And if not, who does and can help? I've asked in many audiences where I've given talks, have your parents ever taught you to ask yourself that question? Only one hand ever went up.
Is that discouraging or, well, now you've got an audience to convince or at least to think about it?
I'm not sure it's discouraging. My parents never taught me that. I'm not sure I've taught my children that, but we should.
You mentioned when you first co-founded Vivissimo, and I mentioned earlier about your being on the faculty, computer science faculty at CMU. So CMU is known for having many of its former faculty members start up companies. So did you sort of seek out the advice of maybe some of your predecessors who had been at CMU and did start up companies before or as you were founding Vivissimo?
Well, absolutely. I sought out specific recommendations of service providers to work with, accountants, lawyers. We went with one particular law firm because I asked two different people within the School of Computer Science, and they both recommended the same. So I figured that's good enough for me, for us. I also asked them other questions, why some companies have not done well. One of the things that I learned was very often, say, faculty start a company, but they keep one foot in the university. They're not really that committed to it. And I remember a history book I read one time where I think this was actually Cortez when he landed on Mexico with ships from Cuba. He burned all the ships. And the message to his men was we either proceed and we conquer or we die. And I've heard similar stories about European events, I think, in Scandinavia or England. So, yes, absolutely. The book also, I think, leverages an observation that I made in graduate school because I was a graduate student at CMU. No matter how smart you are or think you are, somebody else is smarter than you, and that person might just be down the hallway. So one's task in life is not to be the smartest person in the room or in the building, but rather to leverage the world's knowledge to achieve what you'd like to achieve, and that's the right way to go about things.
Speaking of leveraging knowledge, the idea of the importance of advice, I would say in reading your book, has permeated your career. Having met you at Vivissimo, a goal was to help others, the users of that software, to leverage that knowledge, in a sense, sort of a high-tech advice.
Yes, Vivissimo is, as part of IBM, in the business of making people smarter by giving them tools to navigate information more productively than just getting big long lists of results and so on. So that's what always excited me about working at Vivissimo. That's why it was a pleasure to write this book, which took me about 3 years to write, because I could use insights from our work in making people smarter and leveraging information on the web and combine that with how to get people to be smarter and leveraging information from other people and not just from the web. One error that many people make nowadays is to think the web is all they need. They don't really need a personal interaction with other people. I think that's a mistake, mm-hmm. And I go into that in the book.
There are all kinds of, as you know, self-help books published every year, lots and lots, advice books. But do they actually talk, yours talks about, focuses on the importance of advice and seeking it?
Well, as I say in the chapter one, I'm not trying to make people into happier people. I focus on one specific problem, which I think can be applied across one's life, not just in work, but also in life. How to leverage in a good way, how to build relationships with people so you can leverage their knowledge and they can leverage yours. So you can apply that in so many facets of life. I actually apply that in my own personal life now and have stories even from a few weeks ago. So what some people have told me is that they were amazed that you could take one simple, seemingly simple little thing, asking somebody for advice, do the research on it, and write a book of about 170 pages over 3 years. Some people thought that that would be a book of like one page in length. But there's a lot to say about how to do it well. It's not just doing it, but also doing it well. And there are many sub-aspects, like what if you ask multiple people for advice and you get contradictory counsel? Then what do you do? There's something to say about that.
This is Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Kevin Gavin. We're speaking with Raul Valdez-Perez, co-founder of Vivissimo, and continues to be involved in startup companies. He's the author of Advice is for Winners, How to Get Advice for Better Decisions in Life and Work. First book?
First book, yes.
So you know what the question is. Did you seek advice on how to write a book from either authors or editors?
Of course I did. I sought out a number of authors here locally in Pittsburgh, and I took them to lunch, and I asked them what their experience was, if they would do things differently in the future, and so on. And I learned a lot, and the path I chose really was partly credited to those conversations.
Well, you had the information and the questions that rolled through your mind and even some of the answers that you gathered through your career. What was any advice for the actual writing, the communicating of the information that you wanted to relate in the book?
from other authors?
Yes.
I was largely focused on the means of publishing. So there are traditional publishing houses, and there is the wave of self-publication, which has improved a lot in technology and so on. So the main question I was after was, should I go through traditional, approach a literary agent, go to a traditional publishing house, or self-publish through one of Amazon's services called CreateSpace? That was the main question I was after. I also wanted to know other things. I was given, you know, some pieces of advice, frankly, that I chose to disregard. For example, small example, I was told you should never use the same word twice in a title and subtitle. I liked the title, Advices for Winners, How to Get Advice for Better Decisions in Life and Work. I saw nothing objectionable about that, so I put the same word twice. So you can't listen slavishly to everything you're told, of course. That was well-meaning counsel. But I was after that. What's the best – today the world has changed. What's the best means of publishing a book? And I'm happy with the path I took, which was self-publishing.
So why don't we seek advice? You list 28 different reasons, a handful of categories. Why, in essence, though, why are we hesitant? Why don't we seek advice?
So the chapter 3, which is why we don't seek advice, categorizes the reasons into 4. One is kind of intellectual. Intellectual means matching up advice with – matching up a problem with sources of advice. Other reasons are emotional, social, and even biological reasons. But I think the number one reason people don't seek advice when they have a problem or an issue is it doesn't occur to them. They don't think of it.
That just surprises me.
Why? Think of all the problems or issues you've had in the last 30 years. How many times did you ask, do I have the knowledge and experience to deal with this myself? And if not, who does and could help? And then go out and contact them. Let me give you an example. My wife and I were looking at buying a house. Like a very old, fine houses in the east end of Pittsburgh, has a lot of asbestos. My wife was very concerned about asbestos. Do I know anything about asbestos? No. So we were looking on the web, reading stuff, thinking about it. And I said, hold on. Do we have the knowledge and experience to deal with this ourselves? No. Who doesn't can help? Well, we have a good friend who's an architect who works on home remodeling. We called him on the phone. He came right over that same night and had a dialogue with us, understood what our concerns was, and he crystallized the problem. The problem is this. If asbestos is exposed, you can get rid of it. But you're not going to get rid of it. It's behind walls. So the basic question is, are you going to freak out every night when you go to sleep knowing that there's asbestos behind the wall? If you are, don't buy the house. But it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to harm the resale value. So that's the basic question. Are you going to freak out? Yes or no? So it wouldn't have occurred to us to frame the problem that way. We decided, no, we're not going to freak out. And then we proceeded to express interest in the house.
You obviously don't believe that seeking advice is sort of a sign of weakness, but it apparently is for some people.
That is one of the reasons mentioned there, sign of weakness. There are many other reasons. Again, some people think that the web is all you need these days. Here's what they miss. The basic principle is that good advice must depend on your circumstances, your goals, and constraints. Otherwise, it's not advice. It's a principle. Or it's an inspirational example or whatever. So people who only look toward the web, they are getting principles. They are not getting advice. And for me to give you advice, I need to have a dialogue with you first. So actually that leads to one of the qualities of a good advisor, which we haven't talked about. The number one quality of a good advisor is someone who's a good listener. Because if you believe that good advice depends on your situation, they must learn your situation before giving you advice.
But what's the difference between seeking advice and networking?
Networking is not problem-driven. Someone networks in order to enlarge one's circle of acquaintances. Advice-seeking is driven by a problem or an issue that one wants to solve or get a handle on. One might have a network to draw on, or one might not. Very often, if I have a problem or an issue and I don't know anybody who knows much about it, I'll sometimes approach a stranger or ask for an introduction to a stranger. So those are separate things. This book is written for somebody with a problem or an issue who wants to make a good decision and do it well.
Are you always seeking solutions when you search out for advice? Are you looking for something else?
Absolutely not. In fact, it was pointed out to me once by someone I spoke with that very often people don't ask others in positions of authority over them for advice because they think that advice is solutions. And if I ask, for example, my parents or my boss or maybe my spouse for advice, then it'll be obvious if I don't follow the advice and I want to I don't want to cause offense, so I don't ask for advice because I think advice is solutions. Instead, if you realize the different benefits of advice, you can go to a boss or a spouse or parents and say, I'm not ready to think about solutions. I just want to understand what questions I should be asking myself or what things I should read or what can go wrong. I'm not ready to talk about solutions. Please, let's not talk about solutions. And then there's no way to cause offense because you haven't followed a solution that was given. You've been given other things. So once you understand the subtleties of doing the problem right, then you can be much more prudent. There's no reason not to go ask your boss for advice. You just ask different questions and for solutions.
So you've convinced us, or we've already decided to seek advice. Why do we heed it? Why do we ignore it? And the third part of that question is, what happens when we do get contradictory advice when we seek out multiple sources?
So there is no magical solution when you hear contradictory advice. What the book tries to instill is the idea that there are good practices, there are best practices, and if you follow them, that'll improve your chances of, number one, getting good advice and being able to deal with contradictions. So here's an idea that I picked up from another book and doing my research. Here's, you know, it goes to the issue of how do you set up a good advisory session. I'm asking, say, you for advice, and maybe you know a lot about a subject, but you're not an expert advisor in the process of advice. So you have to realize that advising is a collaborative process. So if I can learn to be a good advice seeker, I can make the problem easier all around. And here's the way to do it. I go to seek advice from you, and I'm prepared to explain four things. Where am I now? How did I get there? Where do I want to go? And how you can help. And that really makes it easy because you listen to the first three things, and now I'm telling you how I think you can help me. So if you follow things like that, if you follow if you set up a session well, if you do the right things, if you're skilled at the process, then it'll make it much easier to be able to perceive, to get good advice, and to perceive why you might get contradictions. One of the reasons you get contradictions is you've not explained, for example, your goals. So you don't know what my goals are, so you tell me something, and I go to somebody else, and he tells me something different because maybe I explained my goals to the second fellow but not to the first. That's my problem. I'm not doing the job well, so I need to get skilled at advice seeking. Hence, that's why there's scope for writing a 170-page book instead of a one-page essay.
But what's the difference between seeking advice and networking?
Networking is not problem-driven. Someone networks in order to enlarge one's circle of acquaintances. Advice seeking is driven by a problem or an issue that one wants to solve or get a handle on. One might have a network to draw on, or one might not. Very often, if I have a problem or an issue and I don't know anybody who knows much about it, I'll sometimes approach a stranger or ask for an introduction to a stranger. So those are separate things. This book is written for somebody with a problem or an issue who wants to make a good decision and do it well.
Are you always seeking solutions when you search out for advice? Are you looking for something else?
Absolutely not. In fact, it was pointed out to me once by someone I spoke with that very often people don't ask others in positions of authority over them for advice because they think that advice is solutions. And if I ask, for example, my parents or my boss or maybe my spouse for advice, then it'll be obvious if I don't follow the advice and I don't want to cause offense, so I don't ask for advice because I think advice is solutions. Instead, if you realize the different benefits of advice, you can go to a boss or a spouse or parents and say, I'm not ready to think about solutions. I just want to understand what questions I should be asking myself or what things I should read or what can go wrong. I'm not ready to talk about solutions. Please, let's not talk about solutions. And then there's no way to cause offense because you haven't followed a solution that was given. You've been given other things. So once you understand the subtleties of doing the problem right, then you can be much more prudent. There's no reason not to go ask your boss for advice. You just ask different questions and for solutions.
Raul Valdez Perez was the co-founder and CEO of Vivissimo for 9 years before that company was acquired by IBM in 2012. Formerly a computer science faculty member at Carnegie Mellon University, he's an advisor for startup companies, and he is the author of Advice is for Winners, How to Get Advice for Better Decisions in Life and Work. Raul Valdez Perez, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Kevin Gavin, and this is Essential Pittsburgh.